going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And away we go on a Friday of draft weekend. The Knicks win. Francisco Alvarez and Jeff McNeil are back. But did the Giants and Jets win? We know who did win. And that is Tiki Barber on a show bet with Evan Roberts. When Evan guaranteed that the third overall pick for the New York Giants last night would be Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur Sanders, who's still waiting to be drafted.
So why is everybody hearing my voice right now, Tiki?
I'll tell you why. Because for a month, maybe 2 months, Evan Roberts has been saying it to this microphone, or at least the one Sean's sitting at now, our microphones, that the New York Giants were going to select Shedeur Sanders. I got so tired of him hearing it, and I knew it wasn't going to happen, that he made a bet with me. That if the Giants did not take Shedeur Sanders, I got to make a show decision. Now, remember, show decisions are a big part of what we do here.
Oh, yeah.
About a year and 4 months ago, Sean got to make a show decision when he bested Evan Roberts in a game of pickleball. It was highly contested. It was ugly. It was not something you want to show your grandkids. But Sean won. Yeah. And his show decision was to hang the A-Rod Day banner, February 16, 2024.
Retired his number, baby.
Retired A-Rod's number, 13, in the Mike Francesa studio here at WFAM. So today, because Evan was wrong, and all you Giant fans, you get a room, two rooms, full of Giant fans talking about the draft yesterday. Evan is being banned from this show until I deem otherwise.
Ah! Benched, baby. He's
not
benched.
You will not hear Evan's voice until I'm done talking about the New York Giants. The Jets drafted a lineman that we all knew they were going to draft, so they were boring. Maybe we'll get to them a little bit later. We'll get to the Knicks, obviously, as well. But Evan Roberts' voice will not be heard until I say it's okay.
Now, will that be an hour? Will that be 2 hours? Will that be 2 weeks? That's up to Tiki Barber and something we'll figure out along the way. So, Tiki, here we go. The draft board went according to plan, at least picks 1, 2, and 3, although it was the Jaguars obviously picking 2 with that massive trade to go get your guy, Travis Hunter.
Yes.
But the Giants at number 3 overall, don't even let the clock tick down and show, oh, are we still deciding? Is there indecision? They hand in that card and announced was Abdul Carter, edge rusher, Penn State, who plenty had as the best player in the draft, or at least a 1B to Travis Hunter. The Giants, more on the quarterback in a second. Let's just start off with how the night started. Stuck to their board and walked out of here with one of the 2 best players in the draft.
Yeah, and that's all you could ask for. But real quickly, just to go back to the Cleveland Browns briefly. So you know who I wanted.
I wanted Travis Hunter.
I told you guys this yesterday. In an ideal world, the Giants draft Travis Hunter. He's a generational type talent. what you figure out how you utilize him on both sides of the ball, but it is an unbelievable problem to have. And so I wanted Travis Hunter because he's going to change the face of the game, right? He's going to be one of those guys that we'll look at a decade from now and say, remember when Travis Hunter came in and decided to do this, play on offense and on defense? And then the second part of my ideal day was trade back in and draft Jackson Dart.
Yep.
So as soon as the Cleveland Browns, this happened right after our show. I was driving on the turnpike home to rush home to get home before the draft. And to get a note, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cleveland Browns, or no, the Cleveland Browns made a deal with, who did they make a deal with? I forget who it was. But they made a deal to get sixth round picks. And
it was
just something innocuous. It felt really back down the draft that nobody was going to pay attention to. And immediately I said, they're trading that pick. They're setting themselves up to trade that second pick. And I knew it was for someone to come get Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
And so as soon as it happened on draft day or draft time, when the Cleveland Browns made the deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I knew my dream of Travis Hunter was over. With that being said, I am perfectly happy with Abdul Carter, because Abdul Carter coming into this Giant defense, where the Giants have spent the majority of their free agency and their energy over the last couple of years in their draft status last year with both Tyler Newbin and Drew Phillips, I think that the Giants, by drafting Abdul Carter, can finally have an identity at something.
Yes.
Just think about what the identity has been or not been over the last couple of years. Even when Saquon was an elite player, it wasn't really their identity.
Right, but that's what they tried to bank on. Remember, that was something we saw in Hard Knocks, was the front office going, well, what's going to be our identity if Saquon leaves? And they didn't have one last year.
They didn't have an answer. And so now you have an answer. They are going to get after the passer, Abdul Carter, with Kayvon Thibodeau, with Banks.
Yep.
They are with a pretty good linebacking core, with really good defensive back system now with Paulson Adebo coming over.
Even the kid Golston they signed from Dallas.
Exactly. So they, like, we know what the identity is going to be, and that gives me some hope. Now, the schedule's hard and everything else is going to, it's got to all fall into place.
Sure.
But from a people standpoint, like the guys on the with the jerseys, names on the back of their jerseys, I like what the identity is shaping up to be for the New York Giants after drafting Abdul Carter with the third pick, because he has a chance to be one of those perennial Pro Bowl type players.
Think about all the knocks that Giants fans have had to hear about their organization the last couple of years. What's their identity? No identity. We just tackled that. Ferocious defense, pass rush. Not enough talent, not enough great players. I don't know, Tiki. Obviously, jury's out. Anything could happen with Abdul Carter. But if he is a slam dunk a prospect, as everybody thinks, and you add that with Malik Nabers the year before and all the other talent that they've infused, suddenly you look up, and where we had this conversation even a week ago, how much better is the team now than when Dave Gettleman left it? I am now, for the first time in 4 years, after last night, staring at a roster which obviously is still incomplete.
Right.
But in terms of high-end talented players, Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, Abdul Carter, Malik Nabers, today I could say as a Giant fan, truly, without faking it, I'm proud again to be a fan of the New York Football Giants. There's something to be excited about next year with the New York Football Giants, and it is going to be the calling card of this defense. So I'm proud. Yeah. Now,
the only thing that matters is you still got to score points.
So let's get to that. We saw all the smoke yesterday leading up, like the Jackson Dart stuff all of a sudden just engulfed us all to the point we thought, and Evan thought this to start the show yesterday, it's got to be smoke. Why would they be? Why would Carson Shane be Instagram storying the Jackson Dart stuff? How would suddenly Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah and all these mock drifters suddenly be putting Jackson Dart in there? I panicked for a moment last night briefly, Tiki.
Why?
For a brief moment.
Why?
When the Jaguar and Brown trade went down, past Giant draft situations, desperation, quarterback, and everything, would have saw the Browns move to 5 and go, wait a minute, now the Browns are not going to get Travis Hunter. Are they going to take a quarterback at 5? And then by doing that, do I need to make sure I get my quarterback and sit there and take one at 3? There was a moment, even if it didn't make any sense, that I sat there and said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't give up Abdul Carter.
Don't get baited.
Don't get baited. And they didn't. And that made me relieved. Now, as far as the night went on, and the slide happens, and Shedeur Sanders is sitting there, still sitting there.
Yes.
Jackson Dartison. The Saints say no thanks. The Steelers.
To both.
When you got to the Steeler pick, I said, well, one's coming off, and maybe this is Shane's plan. We'll take whoever's left.
Yes.
The Steelers pass. And my eyes lit up. And I said, well, what the hell are they going to have to give up?
You knew at that point the Steelers.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Steelers passed on QB because nobody else needed right? one. You knew the Giants were...
In the driver's seat.
They were either sitting there waiting for whoever yeah. falls to them, which they could have if they wanted to get Shedeur Sanders, because I think the Rams were likely going to jump up and go get
Jackson
Dart. But either way, you knew that the Giants were coming away with first-round pick, second-round pick, with an elite blue-chip player. Yep. And a quarterback.
The opposite of what they did in the Daniel Jones draft, where yes. everybody wanted in the draft Josh Hines-Allen right. and then wait on the quarterback and do that. So everybody that killed the Giants that night, just learn, the Giants didn't make that same mistake tonight.
They did.
So they go, they make that trade, and here's the cost. You trade pick 34, which is just the swap. You're swapping 25 for 34, and you're giving up your second, your compensatory pick for Xavier McKinney, the later third-round pick, not the first one in the draft, mm-hmm. and your third-rounder next year. To me, Tiki, we had all the discussions last year about trading up for a franchise quarterback. That price to pay is nothing if you believe in the quarterback.
And I think, and I think they did. Look, they had all of these guys in. Jalen Milroe they had in. Jackson Dart they had in. Shedeur Sanders they had in. These are all post- their team workouts at their facility, and obviously post combine where most of them really didn't do anything, especially Shedeur. So they've done their deep dive diligence right. on all of them. And so when it came down to it, you've all seen the videos, at least if you're Giant fans, of Joe Shane calling Jackson Dart and Dave's calling Jackson Dart, mm-hmm. and you know, you've seen the post draft analysis of what's going to happen. That is, Russell Wilson is the starter.
Yep.
And we talked about this yesterday briefly. I'll recap quickly. Russell Wilson's here for a year. Russell Wilson thinks he's the savior coming here for the New York Giants. He's not. He's here for a year to win some games. The guy who's going to groom the young player is going to be that locker room energy for that young player quarterback is Jameis Winston.
Right.
Right. And so, but Jackson Dart now gets put into a situation where he doesn't really have to play. Do I think we'll see him at some point? I do, actually. This might be a replay of the Eli's moment.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. Come and play Russell Wilson for 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever it may be, depending on what the record is. Hell, it didn't matter when Eli went 2004.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you.
We had a winning record.
If they have a winning record, knowing what's on the line and all the losing, do you think they would go to
Dart? So much of it is going to depend on what Dart is handling and how forward he is advancing each and every week. Because I know this just from experience with Eli. They gave him everything. It wasn't like, hey, Eli, we're gonna baby you along here. Take a little bit of this playbook, learn this, master this. All right, here it is. It's all here. Go if you learn it, we'll give you a shot. And ultimately, they did. It was rough because he right. struggled, and we lost a bunch of games in a row until he finally figured it out that at the end. And then he just exponentially took off. We won 10 games the following year.
But it did set the Giants up.
It set the Giants up for success. And so I could see that happening again. I'm not predicting that's going to right. happen, but I could see that happening. We know that Jackson Dart is a talent. We know he's got a lot to learn, obviously.
Yeah.
I heard Gio this morning going crazy because he thinks he's puffy or
pudgy. I guess pudgy. Phil Simms had called him pudgy.
Pudgy, whatever it is.
And by the way, I don't
care
what
can you ball?
I don't care what high school he went to.
Can you ball?
Right, exactly.
He's a pudgy clapper.
Can you ball? That's all right. I care about. And by the way, I don't know if you can ball on the NFL level.
Right.
But then again, nobody knows if anybody can ball on the NFL level until you get a chance to play the NFL game.
Exactly. Look, I know Tommy's a lot like me. We watch a lot of college football on Saturdays. And I know there's plenty of the audience out there that does as well. But not everybody does, right? College football is not centrally a big-time New York area sport. I don't like Jackson Dart, the quarterback prospect. But I'm also wrong a ton on these quarterback prospects. Mm.
Why don't you like him?
Okay, here's what I don't like about him. In several big games and several big moments over the last 2 years, and everybody will point to the Florida game when Ole Miss played Florida this year with a chance to make the college football playoff.
Right.
Jackson Dart, for all his athletic traits, the running, the physical runs, he could throw on a dart, 50 yards down the field, tight window throws,
all of it.
All of that.
No pun intended.
But when the game gets stressful, and he's admitted this, I think he admitted this in the video with Gruden, he makes some panic throws. Triple coverage, double coverage. He threw a couple horrendous interceptions. And that was kind of the moral of the story on why Ole Miss didn't make a college football playoff. It's they are so good, and you're humming with that Lane Kiffin offense, and Jackson Dart is doing amazing things. But, man, he has a couple of these fourth-quarter meltdowns, and I always look at that as, you know, the clutch barometer.
Right, the pressure.
The pressure. He didn't handle, I thought, some of the pressure and clutch moments for whatever reason well at Ole Miss, and I think that's a major red flag to me.
Of course.
However.
But, go ahead.
I was just going to say, however. As much as I view that, if you're banking on traits and Brian Daboll's traits, and you've heard a lot of the Josh Allen comparisons, right? Big physical runner, the completions, all that stuff. I look at this and I say, I would not have been okay and comfortable if Brian Daboll had an exodus from this Giant situation without ever getting to identify and take a quarterback that fits his traits and what he wants.
Yeah.
And the Giants not only accomplished that last night, whether I agree with the pick or not, they did that. They traded minimally to do that.
Right. Their second and two-thirds.
Two-thirds.
Don't forget, there were other trades that were much more than that.
And still have the first pick in the third round tonight.
Yes.
Okay. And they walked out with the blue chip pass rusher, no matter what. And no matter what happens now this year, Tiki, because this thing could go a million different ways. If the Giants have a horrendous year and Jackson Dart is, when he gets in there and plays and they bring in a new regime and they're picking top five again, if that regime wants to take a quarterback, nothing the Giants did last night, including taking Jackson Dart, because they'll have picks one and two next year, stops them from starting over and taking a quarterback.
Right.
This is not a franchise-setting back decision.
That's interesting you
by
put it
trading
that way.
Up to 25. So to me, best case scenario takes off and they actually identified a developmental, you know, we're going to take him at 25, fifth year option's important. Brian Daboll gets his guy. They win enough games with defense. The regime keeps their jobs. Best case scenario. Worst case scenario, they have both their first and second round pick next year and a new regime could take a quarterback and a quarterback rich draft that they want. And so what? You trade Jackson Dart for a third round pick in a year.
Right. Or he just sits there and it just doesn't do it.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's not a franchise crippling move.
You reset. Now, the reason I'm okay with this is that. This is part of why this was my ideal scenario yesterday. There was one quarterback, and he went number one overall, that was probably going to be ready to play right away.
Cam Ward.
That is it. Got tons. Incarnate Word, he was at where he played well. Transfers to Washington State when his coach left Incarnate Word to go there, so he followed him. He knew he needed another year because his pre-draft ranking before last season was maybe mid-third round. Mm-hmm. So he needed another year of development. He goes to Miami. He explodes, has a ridiculous season. Like, he was ready to be an NFL quarterback or learn what it takes. Everybody else is flawed.
Yep.
Everybody else. I don't care if that's Shedeur Sanders, obviously, because he didn't even go in the first round. Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Tyler Shuck. All these guys, all these kids are flawed. There's something wrong with them. But to your point, I think Dave's saw something in Jackson Dart that he can work with.
Yes.
And that's all you want. Just work with him. He's not going to be perfect. But guess what? Josh Allen wasn't perfect either. Not even close.
No.
Leaving Wyoming. His completion percentage was less than 60%.
Which is why he
college.
Which is why he wasn't even a top three quarterback taken in that draft.
60% and less than 60% in college. That's an indictment.
Versus bad opponents in a bad when you're playing at Wyoming.
Exactly. And look where Josh Allen is right now. And so you either have to have faith in Dabes and his ability to do what he was hired to do 3 seasons ago now, but he was hired to do this. Now he gets a chance to do it. And now if you're wrong that he's really not that good at building or grooming a quarterback, developing a quarterback, getting him to make the right decisions, etc., then you made the wrong decision 4 years ago, but now at least we can find out why.
Exactly. And you still got Abdul Carter out of it. So Giants fans, last night, no matter what, with all the negativity that's existed around this franchise, they can officially establish an identity on defense. And they now can go to bed at night knowing Brian Daboll has a quarterback he believes in. We'll get your reaction next, 888-808-1019.
Real quick. By the way, the reason you're not hearing Evan and you're hearing Sean is because I made a show decision because Evan was so wrong about Shedeur Sanders that it started to anger me. And so I made a show decision that he's banned from this show until I say otherwise.
And that may not be enough punishment, considering the fact that Shedeur Sanders is exactly where Evan Roberts is right now, on the bench waiting to work.
Exactly.
And Evan punishment is in full effect. It's Evan and Tiki on the Fan right now. Sean Tiki, Tommy here. Tiki has sent Evan to the showers.
You're welcome, Giant fans.
For being so wrong until further notice that the Giants would stand pat at take three. I mean, the biggest L of them all is Evan doing that. Speaking of L's, the Atlanta Falcons. This ties real quickly before we get the phone calls. 888-808-1019.
This I don't get at all.
Okay, so just to kind of set it up.
I might have to write Raheem and ask him.
What the hell's going on?
Like, dude, what's up with you, man?
So the Giants trade with the Houston Texans at 25 to get Jackson Dart. And just to, again, re-go over, they swapped 34 for 25 and gave up their second third-rounder this year, their third-round pick next year. Why is that important? The Giants viewed that spot at 25 as needing to get ahead of the Rams because reports indicate the Rams and Sean McVay, despite their reworked deal with Matthew Stafford, actually really liked Jackson Dart and wanted to take him in round one to be McVay's next quarterback to sit behind Stafford for a year, maybe 2 years. So right off the bat, before we get to what happened and what the Rams traded out after that, if Sean McVay views a guy as worthy enough and the Giants are jumping him, good sign.
Yes.
Very good sign, because McVay, we all know, is a magician with this. But as a result, to make yourself feel even better, Giant fans, the Rams, because now Dart was gone in front of them, go, all right, we're going to deal out. Not only are we going to deal out, the Atlanta Falcons trade with the Rams that pick after Jackson Dart.
Right, at 26.
The 26. And exchange a couple different picks, but also give up next year's first round pick to take their second pass rusher of the first round, Pierce out of Tennessee.
Yep, James Pierce out of Tennessee.
And the Rams, who might have been thinking Jackson Dart, quarterback to replace McVay, now get a second first rounder next year. And the Giants didn't have to give up a first rounder. They basically gave up 2/3 to go one spot ahead of what the Falcons were doing. The Texans had to walk away going, wait a minute.
Right.
How the hell did the Rams just get that from Atlanta?
Look, I get why the Falcons wanted another pass rusher. The biggest, one of the big faults in their game, obviously Kirk Cousins played terribly, especially after he hurt his shoulder, which we didn't really know about. They go with Jalen Walker early in the draft, Georgia kid, so he's local. It's going to be huge, a linebacker from Georgia. And then they draft James Pierce. The biggest issue for the Falcons last year, they couldn't get to the quarterback. And quarterbacks just did whatever they wanted with this team. And their offense was crafted to be explosive, and you draft your quarterback of the future with Penix Jr., and obviously Bijan Robinson's there, your wide receiving core y'all know about, including your tight end, even though he's been somewhat of a disappointment for a first-round pick. Like, you had a good team. But to give up a first, basically, if you need an elite player next year, you're not getting them.
In what could be a better draft.
Yes, and so what this rings of, it's interesting you bring up the Rams. This is what the Rams used to do.
Yes.
The Rams used to just say, we don't need first-round picks. You know, let's just give it up. Let's get better right now, and let's try to win right now. So maybe that's the philosophy that Raheem, and it's not really him, it's Terry Fontenot, the general manager. Maybe that's the philosophy that they're going with. But when you look at it in comparison to what the Giants did, I mean, the Giants got a steal then.
No doubt.
Jackson Dart.
Yeah, and look, we're not an Atlanta sports talk show. Maybe the Falcons think they'll recoup some picks for Kirk Cousins down the line from a desperate. Maybe. But nonetheless, what the Giants gave up one pick ahead of what the Falcons gave up is really remarkable.
It is.
888-808-1019. Gio in Howell, New Jersey. Gio, you start us off. What's going on, man?
What's good, man? I want to say the Giants did a great job taking Carter at three. I mean, it was pretty obvious, but at three, you got to take a guy that's playing right now.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? You're not going to take... You're not gonna sign two QBs and then take one to sit at three. That's crazy for the people that want the Sanders. But I'm curious to hear your take. You got Carter, right? You take Dart. That's your quote unquote future QB. Let's see what Dable can do. But right, let's just play devil's advocate. The Giants flopped this year. They're playing to win some games, obviously.
Yeah.
What happens with the coaching decision next year? And I know you guys already talked a little bit about getting another quarterback next year if a new coach comes in, whatever. But what's that scenario look like, you know?
Well, it's a good question, Gio. But I think the reason you would, because let's face it, the Giants' schedule is daunting.
Yeah. Well,
obviously, the division is rough with Dallas, whether or not you think they're going to be good or not, because they're always Dallas and they find ways to screw it up. But the Eagles are defending Super Bowl champions, and the Washington Commanders were the NFC Championship game, right? Or no, were they the game short? Or
they were in the NFC Championship game.
NFC Championship game against the Lions.
The Eagles. Yes.
And so you know that, like, the division is rough. And then you got all of these out-of-conference games.
I'll give them to you. They play the entire NFC North, which means the Packers were good. The Vikings, a playoff team. You go, the Lions, they're right there. And the Bears, everybody expects to be better. And they play the AFC West, which means the Broncos, a playoff team. The Chargers, a playoff team. The freaking Chiefs will come to MetLife.
They have a rough schedule this year because of the divisions, their division, and then the division they're matched up against. So there's a good chance that the Giants are going to struggle early. And this is to Gio's question. What will happen with the regime, meaning Dave's and Shane, if they're just bad and if they're losing to really good teams, playoff teams last year? This is why you will see or might see Jackson Dart, because the last thing you want is to have a horrible season, continue to be horrible with Russell Wilson as your quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's dead. It's dead season. He has no future here. We know it's a one-year deal. He's not going to hit any of his major incentives for completion percentages and yards and all this other stuff that Evan read off yesterday. And so if he plays the whole season and the Giants stink, it's going to feel like, what the hell are we even watching?
Well, yeah.
And so the reason you throw Jackson Dart in at some point is, one, to get him experience, and then you never know what kind of spark he provides. Or if he figures it out, not at the end of the season like Eli did, but maybe he figures it out after a couple of games. And, he's, for whatever reason, he becomes a catalyst and the defense carries you for a little bit. So I think the only way, if the team has a terrible season, is if Jackson Dart comes in and starts playing well. And it looks like, all right, well, maybe they got something with this kid. Let's not disrupt it.
Right. So the Giants in that regime, they're going to have two outs next year. It's going to be maybe they win enough games with defense and Wilson surprise. When they start not, maybe they get a spark and Dart does it. They have two outs now.
Yeah, the one thing I do appreciate about this draft is that I feel like I know the plan now.
That's a great point.
Right? Before,
that's a great
point. I had no idea.
Whether you agree with the plan is irrelevant, but at least you know they have a plan.
Year one, 2022, surprise everybody, win, lose, really tight game. All those games were one possession games. It was like, all right, are we going to make the play or are we not going to make the play type of thing? Or is the other team going to make the play? But they were all one possession games. They get to the postseason. And it was like, all right, that was kind of cool. That was fun. Dave's wins Coach of the Year, but I still didn't see the future plan.
Right.
And then the offseason comes and they screw around with Saquon and they mess up and give Daniel Jones this stupid contract.
Yep.
And it was like, that can't be your plan. Right? You should let them test free agency, but whatever. That can't be your plan. When it gets blown up the next year, it was like, all right, now what's the plan?
Right.
No plan. The following year, hey, what's the plan? There's no plan. After this draft, I feel like I see a plan. I see an identity being like acutely and specifically developed on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a project on offense, and you have a star in Malik Nabers and a budding star in Tyrone Tracy, who, despite not only starting, what, 8 games last year? Whatever it was the second leading rookie rusher last year, almost had 900 yards rushing.
So behind an O-line everybody hates.
But look, if Andrew Thomas is healthy and you just get better there, and I think we'll see a lineman drafted, most likely with the first pick of the third round, that – like maybe there's something that can develop, but I see a plan now for the first time. And I think of anything that John Mara said, regarding I better feel better next year or whatever it is, I think it's just have a plan.
Yeah.
You'll feel better with a plan, because I feel better now that I kind of see the plan.
I do too. And look, there are plenty of reasons over 4 years to crush Joe Shane and the job he's done and not having the organization where it needs to be in the remnants of what was left over by Dave Gettleman. As we sit here today, maybe the bar is so low, I do have to give Joe Shane credit.
No,
of course you do. Last night, he played that draft board and that chess piece game perfectly. Didn't panic and say, we have to have our quarterback at 3. Took the best player, maybe in the draft, and waited for the right spot with the right proper amount of compensation to not kill your drafts today and going forward next year and walk away with a quarterback that your head coach apparently wants to mold. So this could all fail and he could be out in a year. I won't call it confident, but I'm at least happy that they feel competent. And I'll sign off with that.
Coming off a season where we didn't have one single good day as a Giant fan for a calendar year, basically.
Yeah.
We had one last night.
Yeah.
I agree.
That was a great night.
We did. And did you see the reaction at MetLife Stadium? I don't know if you guys saw this at the draft party. We were at a great job at Dream Bar yesterday, American Dream, but all those fans that went over there, that was, I mean, a real loud pop. The Giants social media put it out.
After Abdul Carter. Of course.
Yeah, it went insane. And it just made me realize again, a fan base that feels like sometimes it's at each other's throats because of all we've been through, we're all in agreement here. This feels like a unanimous Giant fan agreement right. for once.
Abdul Carter is a win.
Yeah.
He's a win. And I didn't even realize until they started talking about it on draft night how much of versatility he has.
Yeah. Because he can line up over the tackles, take on double teams.
But he also was a stand-up linebacker.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he went to the edge last season. So he's got a lot of versatility, which as a defensive coordinator, it's got to give you, you got to feel really good about how you can just use him.
And Tiki, we forget. Well, I know we don't, actually. The Giants passed on Micah Parsons in that trade back.
Yeah, same type of player.
Same type of player and ended up with Kadarius Toney and flop. This almost feels like it's righting the wrongs of that draft with Dave Gettleman.
And there's no excuse for the Giants not to have an elite defense next year. I'm talking about a top five unit with a budding secondary rush.
The secondary stuff, they go. Newman and Phillips have to take the next step.
Okay. Yes.
Banks can't be a disaster, and Adebo's got to stay healthy. There's still ifs in the secondary, but
right,
I
Adebo
like where they're
missed
going.
He's missed a lot of time over the last couple of years.
But with Lawrence, Burns, Kayvon, and Carter, serious heat.
Look,
on
paper, it sounds awesome.
Right, but it's on paper.
Putting it together is a different story, but at least it's on paper correctly.
Yep, absolutely. Frank and Scotch Plains. Frank, what's up?
Hey, guys. Listen, I agree with everything you're saying. Great night for the Giants. I'm optimistic as well. You know, Carter is going to improve that D-line, which is, Tiki, correct me if I'm wrong, but a better D-line is going to likely make your secondary better.
100%. Right? Look at the Eagles in the Super Bowl last year. They got home with four against one of the best offenses in football.
Exactly. So I'm completely, listen, it's on Dable right now to develop this kid. You know, I don't know much about him, but, you know, I'm hearing that he's got raw talent. He's got ability. So it's on Dable to get this kid, you know, developed and be the next, hopefully the next Eli and take us to the promised land.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know if he's going to be Eli, but I believe he has a chance to be a good player.
Yeah. It was something. It's just something to give us hope.
Right.
But the thing we're not talking about is the offensive line.
Yes.
are we good there or not?
Well,
right.
Over the last couple of weeks, I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again now because it's relevant. When you look at the big board for this draft, and particularly the offensive line, there are a ton. I mean, there are 14, I think, I counted yesterday or last week, 14 top 100 tackles. So 14. Now, there's not very much, you know, difference between those four, but there's 14 in the top 100, which means if you took a tackle every whatever, five or six picks, there's going to be a ton of them that are top three, third round or better, quality tackles.
Some of them project as a guard, but nonetheless.
Right. It doesn't matter. There's 14 top 100 players. And so there's a chance that in the third round, you're going to get a Pro Bowl player.
Especially because they have the first pick in the third round.
Exactly. But I'm just saying any team.
Yeah.
Like the Cleveland Browns could take a guard in the third round at pick whatever, 80, whatever, 90, 98 or whatever it would be. And they could get a Pro Bowl type player because there's so many good players at the offensive line. So trust me, the Giants are taking an offensive lineman in this draft, whether it's the third pick at the first round of the third, first pick of the third round or in the fourth round, and you're going to get a good player. So do the Giants need help on their offensive line? Absolutely. It's the one thing that just gives me agita about this team, because in addition to having an identity back in 2007, really my entire tenure and then the Super Bowl seasons afterwards, the identity was, let's run the hell out of the football and have a great defensive front.
Right.
And it seems like they're getting back to some of that. But the only way you're running the hell out of the football is if you have a great offensive line.
Yeah, I hope as the Giants sit there at 65 tonight, however round two goes, if the best player on the board is one of these offensive linemen, by all means take him. But I am now, Tiki, under the standpoint of I want the best player available, period. I want to take the best players with these picks left. And the Giants still, I think, have a gaping hole at defensive tackle.
Yep.
If that happens to be the best player on the ball, 65, keep loading up this defense in the trenches. I'm okay with that. Add to that because they do have that. If the best player on the board, by the way, happens to be a wide receiver, I'd do that too.
Right. How about two Michigan D tackles?
In the first round, yeah.
In the first round. That was impressive.
Absolutely. Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey with an interesting thought. Gabe, what's
up, Wayne? I mean, Gabe.
Hey, guys. This is a really awkward phone call. I'm so sorry. Thanks for taking the call. You guys are awesome. Yesterday was really cool. I had to pop in, pop out real quick. I had to pick up the little one from Grandma Daycare, but it's nice to see Tommy. And just thank Tommy for letting me get all my Yankees venting out whenever I feel like it. So I appreciate that.
Nice.
But look, I think I got a case here, all right? So
let's hear it.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, esteemed guests, and Sean Morash.
Yes.
May it please the court. I think Tiki got a big L here. The other day on Wednesday, I called in, and I asked about these Shedeur Sanders rumors, why he was dropping like a rock.
Uh-huh.
And I said that there were some rumors that said that he might fall to the second round. Tiki, I think your exact words were, that's definitely not going to happen. I think it was something like that. I might have just done my best Tiki impression.
Wow.
I can't do a Tiki impression. I apologize.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I mean, roll the tape. I don't know. Like, you know, maybe somebody's got it, but I think this happened. So, I mean, you know, if nothing else, what the hell did happen?
But Gabe,
all right?
But hold on, Gabe. Yeah, do we care enough about Shedeur Sanders for me to wear the L over it?
I don't. Here's my issue.
My next question was what color is the L going to be? Is it going to be Colorado? Because it can't be Giants. It can't be Jets. Now. Like, I don't. It was a lot of logistical issues that were running through my mind.
Gabe, listen to me. I don't think this is a bad call, but I need to know this before we let you go. Evan Roberts, yeah. And the reason you're not hearing him right now, Tiki has benched him and suspended him until further notice because he guaranteed Shedeur would go three and he's sliding out of the second round. Now you're saying Tiki should wear an L because Tiki scoffed that he would slide out of the second round. I need to know, Gabe, you said you were at American Dream yesterday. Are you in Evan Roberts' plant that Evan is trying while he's not in the
air? Easy. Any
Do
photos
you
of their may exist and he's shaking Evan's hat.
Do you own my Mets Bible?
This is so awkward. I don't ask you personal questions, right? Like, you know, knock it off. All right, Sean, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, man? Come on.
All right, Come Gabe. On. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
the
Gabe.
Call. I think he owns my Mets Bible.
Right. But to answer his question, what happened, we kind of addressed it yesterday. I think the interview process went very poorly for him. And when we talked about it yesterday, and Gabe might have been there and then leaving when we were talking about this, as a general manager, as an owner, because all these guys sit down with these quarterback prospects, particularly quarterback prospects, when you're going through your interview and you're expressing your personality, you're starting to you see the attitude, they can't help but look at you as the face of their franchise. And
right.
The person who's going to stand up after a glorifying win or the demoralizing loss, that's the person that they want to push in front of the camera, right? You're selling the organization. And I think that during that process, Shedeur Sanders came off just not great.
Right.
And that's what you started to hear from the insiders around the NFL. It was interesting because Sean and I were talking about something with Loogie right before the show started. And this is maybe because of NIL. And trust me, guys, we know that Shedeur Sanders, whether via his father or via the ridiculous amount of NIL money that he made, he got paid.
Right.
Like a lot over the last couple of years. And Jay Glazer said something interesting, and it was one of his posts on, I saw it on Instagram, I'm sure he did it on every platform, that said it used to be that there were flags thrown at kids coming out of college for, one, injury, two, character issues. But now there's a third one, and it's basically, doesn't love football.
Yeah.
And that can come in a couple of ways. Like, I'm just here because I'm good at this. I don't love it. I don't want to be great. I'm just good at this, so that's why I'm doing it. Or I don't need to grind to go get paid. Like, the NFL is one of the few sports where you, unless you're drafted in the top 15,
right,
you got to earn getting paid.
Yes.
you just don't get paid. You don't just show up and like, hey, I'm a great prospect, and I'm going to get called up, and then once my arbitration runs out, they're going to pay me some guaranteed contract, and I'm going to be set for the rest of my life.
You can be cut within a year.
You have to earn it in the NFL. And a lot of these kids have come into the NFL rich.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean, I'm rich.
Right, exactly. I'm rich, Mitch. Now I'm even richer because I got drafted in the first round. So I think there's starting to become this little thing to watch. The kids come in and they don't love it. They don't love the grind. They don't want to grind because they're already paid. And they think that, you know, this $4 or $5 million that they have coming out of college is all they're going to need in their life. And they might be right, unless they start buying Ferraris and, you know, iced up chains and everything else. But this is something to watch,
yeah,
with kids who sometimes come off as entitled. And if you looked at any of the social media of Shedeur Sanders over the last 2 years, trust me, you see him driving a Bentley. You see him wearing ice out the wazoo. You see him on every social media, you know, commercial post. Does he love the game? And if that's a question, teams are increasingly not going to take you. Gabe, that's my best guess of why he fell.
Yeah, and also last night, how many empty couch shots? It was almost like he was like teasing the camera last night with this whole draft party. There was a lot going on. Now, before we do break and continue your calls, 888-808-1019, there was one person on the show, Tiki, that very early on in this draft process kept saying he would have no problem if the Giants took Jackson Dart in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Laughed at him. We mocked him. Oh, Jackson Dart, he's a second round pick, third round pick. And that was Positive Tommy Lugauer. Positive Tommy has yet to address the nation on his guy Jackson Dart now becoming the quarterback. Thoughts, Positive Tommy?
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Tiki. Giant fans, no, I love Jackson Dart a lot. A couple reasons. Number one, his size, his ability to run the football. I think he fits more of the modern game, not being the pocket passer. Think Bo Nix, think Jalen Hurts. And what I love most about him, he's got that dog in him. I appreciate and respect his resume both on and off the field. You feel me on that? So I love the way that he spells his name, J-A-X. I mean, we got a guy who has some edge here. I mean, you spell your name like that, that's a tremendous. Where's the eye black only under one eye? He just, you saw the reaction last night, too. He had about 75,000 people there, you know. So I just think he's got that fire, that edge. And if there's anybody out there right now that is a detractor of this pick, what I would say is this. If you were a Brian Daboll supporter, and he's been glazed a lot by Giant fans, the quarterback whisperer,
yep,
he wanted Dart. So if you believe in Daboll, you should believe in Dart, because Jackson Dart is a Giant right now because the head coach sees something in him, and he sees a guy that he can mold, he can turn into, if you want to go as high as Josh Allen, I said more of a Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, won a Super Bowl. Bo Nix was great in his rookie year. So to me, this was a slam dunk pick. This was a slam dunk night. And you know I've been critical of both guys, but I thought they nailed it last night.
Okay, wow. So answer me this. What happens to Tommy DeVito?
Oh. Okay, so that's a very sensitive topic. Oh. I've been told or been asked to speak on that. As I've said, Tommy DeVito is interning right now. So next year, when Russ is gone, when Jameis is gone, you have a quarterback room of Jackson Dart. Tommy no longer interning. He will be part of that quarterback room, and we will go from there. But he's under an internship right now. He's part of the quarterback room. In my opinion, he's going nowhere.
Okay.
Nice.
I like that. Squad and then a backup next year. All right. So still plenty to do. And on the phones, 888-808-1019. We got to give thoughts on the Jets and picking Membu in the first round. Maybe do they have their eyes on a quarterback tonight in the NFL draft? Plus the Knicks and their gritty win and what the heck happened with the clock and everything that happened at the end of that Knicks game. But Tiki, before we break, I did receive a text from one Evan Roberts, who you've currently suspended.
Do I have to acknowledge this?
He is already impatient, patting his head.
Is he begging you?
He's basically begging me and said, please, please ask Tiki if 1 hour is enough. So how about when we come back, you can make
that
decision.
I'm a baby. I have 3 minutes to think about it.
All right.
I'll let him know.
All right. We will make that
decision. I'm a baby.
When we come back, it's Evan and Tiki on the Fan.